Hello and welcome to the Gospel Points Podcast, where the gospel is the point. I'm your host, Kevin Thompson, and we are back with Season 5 of the Gospel Points. We've been on a two-month hiatus, and during that time, we've been putting together some more interviews for you to listen to, so it's good to be back. And we've got a great program lined up today to start things off, but before we do that, as is our tradition, it's our weekly Twitter poll question. So you can find me on Twitter at Kevin J. Thompson, where you can find these posted usually Monday or Tuesday. This week's question was, which theologian do you prefer? The options I gave were Jonathan Edwards, John Wesley, Thomas Aquinas, or John Calvin. And the winner was Jonathan Edwards, with a whopping 75%, followed by John Calvin, and then tied for last would be Wesley and Aquinas. So definitely a reformed group you gospel listeners are. So anyway, we're going to get to our interview here with Pastor Jeff Durbin. Pastor Jeff Durbin is out in Arizona. You've probably seen him on YouTube. You've probably listened to the Apologia Radio podcast, I guess a competitor here. Not really a competitor, because I'm sure he's got tons more listeners than the 12 of you out there. Anyway, he is just full of energy, and now he's putting that energy into the abortion fight. In fact, he wants to end abortion not later, but now. He's abandoning the incrementalist approach. He's going to talk to us why he did that. So I want to jump right into this interview with Pastor Jeff Durbin.
All right, joining us via Skype right now is Jeff Durbin, who is the pastor of the Apologia Church in Tempe, Arizona, also the host of the Apologia Radio podcast. So, Jeff, welcome to Gospel Points.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor.
Well, we're going to be talking about today the issue of what I would call a modern Holocaust. We're talking about, of course, the issue of abortion. And, Jeff, I want to just first start the podcast off by thanking you for your work in this area. You're right on the front lines. It's a much-needed ministry that too many Christians are ignoring. So thank you.
I appreciate that blessing. Thank you.
Well, many of the listeners know my testimony. It's a personal issue for me. I was born just a few years after Roe, and my mother had already gone through two previous pregnancies, the first resulting in my brother, who is severely mentally handicapped. Second was a miscarriage. And then the third, which happened after Roe, her doctors urged her and pleaded with her to have an abortion. They didn't think her body would be able to handle another pregnancy and couldn't guarantee anything if the pregnancy were successful. And fortunately for me, my mother was a dedicated Christian who loved the Lord and loved life and was pro-life, and I'm here because of that. And so this is an issue that, even if this were not a personal issue, if that were not my testimony, still, we're talking about children made in the image of God being exterminated like rats, and that ought to offend every person born in the image of God. So this is of the utmost importance. So, Jeff, you're launching a new ministry, End Abortion Now. And first, tell us a little bit about, let's go back a couple of years and talk to us about your ministry there at the Abortion Mills, how that got started, and what that's all about.
Absolutely. So, of course, as a Christian, as a minister, I was pro-life in my heart, in my head. I preached messages against abortion, those sorts of things. And so this was something that was very near and dear to me. I cared a lot about it, but I didn't really put legs on my fight against abortion in any kind of really, really meaningful way that had impact until a couple of years ago, about 3 years ago. We had a woman on Apologia Radio named Lisa Metzger. And I had seen Lisa Metzger's pictures come across my feed on a regular basis. I would see her outside the abortion mill, and then I would see a picture with her in the hospital with a woman and a baby, and then the next day, another woman and a different baby. Like, it was just, I kept seeing this come across my feed. Now, I thought that I knew Lisa from high school. I knew Lisa Metzger in high school. I thought we went to school together. I thought that's why we were on each other's feeds. And so I just sent her a message with the assumption that I knew her. And I said, hey, you know, I do a radio program. I'd love to have you talk about your ministry outside of abortion mills. And she said she'd love to do it. And we went to the studio one day, and we're getting all about midway from going live on the radio. And then I tell her what the sense be. I said, hey, By the way, we went to high school together, right? And she said, no. And I told her what high school I went to. I said, you didn't go there? She said, no. I grew up in North Carolina or whatever. And I said, how do we know each other? She said, I'm going to ask you the same thing. She didn't know how she got on my page. I didn't know how she got. We didn't know. And I'm not in the habit of ending sentences, you know. And so I certainly do so. And she swears that she didn't, but we ended up on it. Now we're on a radio program. And it was on that radio program that she explained that she had been in this review. She explained that she goes to pre-hospital. She tells people about the hope. She offers, and she said, end of the podcast, she said they had saved over 300 babies. And I'm telling you, if you could have had a camera in that room, you would have known jaws. We couldn't believe it. And I were like, oh my goodness, 360 all these years of ministry. She was like, oh, last year.
Hmm.
And so she had, that's almost a big day that this is responsible for saving. And so people from Apologia Church heard the radio episode, and a stir began in Apologia Church, and we knew that we didn't really know what we were doing. And we knew that we wanted to help these women, and so we went. And since that time, over 60 babies have been saved from Mills. That's just what we know of, what we can confirm. And over 20 ministries have popped up across the United States from the local churches to the abortion mills. And I don't even know how many babies have been saved as a result of listening to the testimony of Apologia Church as we just talk about it. And I'll just say quickly, with End Abortion Now, it's just a catch cry. End Abortion Now is a catch cry of the ministry of Apologia Church that desires to see abortion ended immediately in our nation, not regulated, but ended as a matter of justice. We want to change the conversation to what it needs to be. Abortion is murder. This is a gospel issue. People need to repent and turn to Christ. Our nation is a national sin. We are not asking that they restrict abortion in terms of let's just keep it at 15 weeks or 20 weeks. We're demanding justice for all fatherless children, and we are demanding it now. We want to fight this fight with local churches across the United States at the abortion mills with the gospel. We want to flood the media with gospel-centered content that brings people's attention back to this issue constantly. And we want to do a national conference where we actually fly pastors out from across the country so that they can mobilize their churches and churches in their area to do this work. And we want to fight the legislative battle to end abortion immediately at the state level.
Right, and you can find out more at www.endabortionnow.com. We'll have that link on our website, also the YouTube clip that you put together as well. It's End Abortion Now. You just said you're not looking to regulate anything. You're not looking to do anything incrementally. You want to end this now.
Yes.
Most pro-life advocates I know don't take that approach, yet they still take the approach that life begins at conception.
That's
so
right.
How do we get to, if we believe that life begins at conception, so every single stage of life in the womb is indeed life, how can we then say, well, it's okay to kill this life at this point, but not here?
Right. Well, it's a deadly inconsistency. And when I say deadly inconsistency, I mean that as it sounds. It's
absolutely
a deadly inconsistency that ends up with the consequence of lives are lost. When we say as Christians that life begins at conception, and then we tolerate any murders, any children being killed after conception, we are being inconsistent in a way that leads to the deaths of these children. Now, this is really, really, if anybody's listening right now and they want to know the difference, what is different? One is it's about the gospel. We haven't done that consistently in this issue. It's about the local church. But a great example of what's wrong with the pro-life movement and what has been wrong over the last 40 years is clearly, vividly displayed in an interview I had with the vice president of National Right to Life. I had it this past year, and if you listen to that interview, you can hear that he takes pains to make sure that it's clear that he does not want to use the scriptures as the foundation of this fight. He says he wants to take a backdoor approach by not using the Word of God. He's a Roman Catholic, by the way. He says that they do not want to call it murder. They do not want it ultimately criminalized as a murder charge. And so I want to say that is exactly the failure. Number one, Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says that the gospel is the power of God for salvation. people's hearts and minds don't change except through a supernatural act by the Spirit of God.
Right.
And the only way that takes place is by the means of the gospel, the good news. So if you do not preach the holiness of God, the law of God, repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, people's hearts don't change. And here's the thing. You can't legislate a personal preference. So if you want to say, well, I don't really want to call it murder, and I don't want it to be a criminal charge, then what you're saying is it's a preference like chocolate or vanilla ice cream. And you can't ask a legislature to legislate for vanilla ice cream over chocolate. No. You have to say, if it's a moral issue, and it is, if it's a human life, and it is, biblically speaking and scientifically speaking, undeniably a human life, then the taking of a human life with malice aforethought is a murder charge. Now, you can legislate on that issue. And the pro-life movement has not wanted to make this a gospel issue. They have not wanted to call it murder ultimately as its foundation. And they have not wanted to ultimately criminalize it as a murder charge. And because of that, we are failing in the national conversation. And we're not able to effectively fight this battle. And I want to say, I don't believe that it'll ever end as long as we're not standing on God's word. Yep. And finally, the pro-life movement has failed miserably to understand how our system of government works. Roe v. Wade is not a law. It's not how our system of government works. If you look at our constitutional documents, you can see that our Constitution is clear that the Supreme Court does not create law in our country.
Right.
That power is invested in the Congress, and Roe v. Wade is a court opinion that does not, cannot, according to our own law, overturn states' laws. And a great example of how this works out is in my own state of Arizona. It is currently against the law on the books as a current statute to engage in an abortion. And all our state has to do is the legislature has to point to the law that is already on the books, say that is a law of our state. They can strengthen the law by adding some verbiage that would essentially counteract the false narrative that the Supreme Court gave. The Supreme Court said that the baby in the womb is potential human life. We know as a fact now, today, through genetics, that at the moment of conception, it is not potential human life. It is human life. And so we can strengthen state statutes to criminalize abortion. And I don't mean in 10 years. I mean now, right away. And it would be it would be lawful. And it would be biblical to do so.
It amazes me. Of course the pro-life movement has failed if we're giving away their argument. If we're saying that you can kill life at any point in the womb, you've just handed them the argument they've won. And of course, if we're not willing to use the scripture, as you just said, that's the only weapon we have. That is that undercuts any authority we have on this issue. So
that's right.
Amen. I can just say amen.
I want to just say quickly that something I brought up in my talk at the End Abortion Now event, where we're trying to equip people on this issue, is that neutrality is a myth. You're either for Christ or against Christ.
Right.
Now, there are instances that can be pointed to on a daily basis where people pretend neutrality. They pretend neutrality. But what's interesting about the abortion debate is that the pro-abortion advocates, the pro-choice advocates, don't pretend neutrality.
Yeah.
But the Christians are. The pro-life movement pretends neutrality, and the pro-choice movement doesn't. They say that we want abortion on demand for any reason without apology. And they say, I know it's a human life. I know it's a baby. I still should be able to kill it. Now, that issue, when you approach it with them, they say, I'm not standing on the Bible. I'm standing on a secular worldview, and I'm approaching it that way. And so what is happening is this conflict that we have often, where people say things like, you can't impose your morality. They say, you can't impose your morality. But that's a fallacious form of reasoning. All legislation is an imposition of morality. And so it's not a question of whether somebody will impose morality, a moral system, on somebody else. It's a question of which moral system, which morality. And what we have right now before us as Christians in the Union is we have the imposition of a secular humanist morality. And here's the thing. They're not apologizing for it. They're not ashamed of it. They stand boldly with it. But the shameful thing, and I want to say this with as much grace as possible to the Church of Jesus Christ, because it's Christ's bride, the shameful thing is that as Christians, we've lost so much ground in this because we don't stand on the rock. Yeah. And we don't say without shame that Jesus Christ is Lord, that God's word counts and stands, and that abortion is murder and it must stop immediately. As soon as we begin the work of actually using the word of God as the basis of this fight, we will win. Because fundamentally, last thing I'll say on this, when you stand on the word of God as your basis in this fight, you also get the science. You get both. It's not either or. It's both and. I get the word of God and I get the scientific evidence and proof that human beings are human at conception.
Absolutely. Well, Jeff, we're kind of running out of time on this segment here. And it's our tradition that we end each interview with a random question that has nothing to do with anything we've been talking about. So are you ready for a somewhat random question?
Absolutely.
All right. Now, this is not a complete random question for you, because looking at your profile, I have to ask this question or I think my kids will kill me. Not only are you a pastor, not only are you a black belt in martial arts, but I have to ask this question. When it comes to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, do you identify more with Michelangelo or Donatello?
Well, I played both of them. For the franchise, I did the fight scenes, the stunts, and the choreography for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles for the franchise. I did some work for the TV show stuff they were doing. So I actually enjoyed doing Donatello more because the suits that we had to wear for the motion capture were so complicated and so difficult to move around in that using the nunchucks for Michelangelo was extremely difficult. So I preferred the staff of Michelangelo because it was easier to maneuver.
All right. Well, we've been talking with Jeff Durbin of Apologia Church, Apologia Radio. Of course, new ministry here, End Abortion Now. You can check that out at endabortionnow.com. And I want to urge you to open up your wallets, open up your checkbooks, pull out your credit card and donate to this. Tell us a little bit before we go. Tell us a little bit about the matching funds that are available and how you're planning to raise this money.
Sure. So we have had a plan for a year to engage in this fight the way that we are, to essentially equip churches, to provide resources to churches, just an entire media campaign to fight the legislative battle, to do it nationally together, to flood the media with gospel-centered content on this issue, to answer their rhetoric. And we have a believer who committed to give $125,000 in matching donations to get to our budget of about $250,000. We have been running it for 4 days now. We're already at $77,000 in less than 4 days. We don't have much to go. People can donate at endabortionnow.com to do that. And when you do, you provide the base and the support for us to provide the resources to Christian churches across the nation to engage in the media battle and to fight the legislative battle and to do a conference where we're flying pastors out to equip them to go back to do the work and to get churches ready in their area to do the same.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff, for joining us. He's going to be back next week. We're going to continue where we left off, and we're going to talk about what happens at the abortion mills where he goes. We're also going to talk about some of the objections people have to that ministry. So don't forget to check out his website, endabortionnow.com, endabortionnow.com. And I really hope you will consider giving to this cause. I think it's well worth your money. It's an important ministry. So www.endabortionnow.com. As of this recording, he's up to, I believe, $112,000. So close to that $125,000 that he's looking for. So keep it coming. Of course, don't forget to check out our website at www.kevinjthompson.info. It's been completely redesigned. In fact, it's still a work in progress, but you can read the blog. You can see some of the articles I got posted up there. So www.kevinjthompson.info. And of course, don't forget to rate us on iTunes, share this with your friends, put it on, pin it on Pinterest, share it on Twitter, put it on Facebook, do everything you need to do to get the word out about the Gospel Points podcast. Well, thank you for joining us once again, and have a great rest of your week.